Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 207, 40 Days and 40 Nights.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone on this lovely morning as we come together for our service of Holy Communion. And we also just wanted to welcome all those who are joining us on the live stream. I know very often people are watching us in different places, and so it's lovely to welcome you as we share together in this service of Holy Communion. Hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. I just wanted to mention one or two things that don't happen every week that are happening this week. On Wednesday afternoon, the Ladies' Friendship Group are meeting at 2 o'clock. And this week, there's a speaker from an organization called Flourish. And that supports and rescues people who've been victims of human trafficking in Northern Ireland. So that should be a powerful afternoon on Wednesday afternoon, and all ladies of the parish are welcome. On Thursday evening at 7:30, we continue our midweek Lenten services. They're a short half-hour service on a Thursday evening during the season of Lent. And during this particular season of Lent, we're hearing the stories of people who are planting churches in different parts of our diocese, and so we're looking forward to welcoming one of those speakers this week as they share their story of sharing faith in the local community. Also, a couple of advance notices. Next week, our youth group are meeting at 11 o'clock, so at 11 o'clock they'll be heading over to the coffee bar straight away. And on Friday the 28th of March, advance notice that the police choir concert is taking place here in church on the evening of Friday the 28th of March, a date for the diary. And our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11, and evening prayer at 7. Today, our service is the service of Holy Communion. You'll find all the responses on the screen if you prefer to follow in the Book of Common Prayer. The service begins on page 201. We pray together. Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our special collect prayer for today, the first Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The epistle is written in chapter 10 of Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning at the 8th verse. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ, according to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We join together to affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Amen.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children and young people will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together hymn 91, "He is Lord, He is Lord."
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have a great friend who often drops in to see us on his regular trips to donate blood in the blood transfusion service in the city hospital. And he lives down the country, but he makes a living by combining his many skills. So he's a part-time farmer, he's a part-time joiner, and a part-time undertaker. And sometimes when he calls, he will offer to help with a particular task that we're finding difficult. So over the years, he's done things like help us to assemble flat pack furniture or maybe to fix something that's broken. And whenever he sees a task that he believes that he can help with, he very often excuses himself and then he comes back from his van with his toolbox. And as you might expect from a man who has so many irons in the fire, his toolbox has every conceivable drill and screwdriver and size of nail and screw and fittings for this and that. And it's all kept meticulously clean and in order. And it's almost as if every eventuality is catered for in this magic box. And the tools of his trade are lovingly maintained and looked after. And no matter who we are or what we've done in life, we'll all probably require some tools for our trade. For some of us, it might be a computer, or it might be some files and a handbook. For others, it might be a vehicle that we operate or a machine of some description. Maybe it's a cooker, pots and pans, or a simple table and chair and some office space. But we all need some tools to do whatever we do. And the usual tools that I bring with me for doing what I do are my Bible, my parish lists, my phone and my diary. And on many levels, those don't really seem like too much. When you walk into a home or a hospital or a nursing home, and you're not quite sure what's going to happen when you go through the door. You're not sure what you're going to find. And you're never really quite sure if you'll have something positive or helpful to offer as people face difficult situations and circumstances, and you pull up outside their door with this little book under your arm. But let's think for a moment about the tools of Jesus' trade. And when we read this morning from Luke's Gospel about Jesus coming back from the experience of being baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin, John the Baptist, and then going out into the wilderness, we're told he was filled with the Holy Spirit as he was led into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So Jesus went into that situation with nothing else other than the voice of affirmation from his heavenly Father and a profound knowledge of the Word of God. And any time we hear about the desert in the Bible or the wilderness, it's a place of encounter with God. Very often it is a difficult place where the terrain is harsh. Sometimes it's a place of struggle, but it's also very often a place of learning and growth. And so in today's gospel passage, we're confronted with something that we have often chosen to ignore in modern life, and that is the existence of the devil. There is a dark force at work in the world out there. And it's a force that seeks to undermine Jesus and his influence in the world and in the lives of his followers. And before we get too caught up in medieval images of a man with horns and a pitchfork, I don't know what he looks like, but I do know that there are constant battles in my own life and thinking where God's place and his rule is often undermined. And my sense is that the devil is behind that kind of thinking. When, for example, we see numerical decline in the church, we might hear a voice in our head saying, sure, all churches are experiencing the same. You can't get children or young people to come to church anymore. Or you might hear a voice in your head saying, well, there's no point in trying that. We've done that before, and it didn't work. Or another voice might say, well, nobody's actually interested in what you're trying to do. It has no relevance to people's life anymore. And we can allow those kinds of negative thoughts to really discourage and to paralyze us. And yes, there are fewer people going to church than there were 30 years ago. But there are still churches that are vibrant and that are full of life and committed people who are trying to transform their communities with the hope of Jesus Christ. There are also many young people who are doing amazing things for God as his love has gripped their hearts and they seek to serve others and to share the hope that they have found. But Jesus was given a severe and a very robust time of testing when he went into the wilderness. And in one of the great understatements of the Bible, we're told that after 40 days without food, he was hungry, and the devil tries to tempt him with food. After 40 days without food, I think I'd be going insane. But the devil tries to tempt Jesus with food, with power and authority, and with the capacity to impress and look good. And those are all pretty significant temptations to put in front of anybody, let alone Jesus. And in looking at those temptations, the first thing we notice is that those kinds of temptations could only come to a man whose powers were unique. And it's a defining moment as Jesus, in each case where the devil tempts him, relies on the words of Scripture to point out who has the real authority in the world and who is truly worthy of our worship. It shows us in a very significant way, Jesus rejecting the way of power and glory and accepting the way of suffering and the cross. And the true test that Jesus was confronted with in that awful time of testing was, is God enough? And I wonder, is God enough for you this morning? Is God enough for me this morning? Or do we want to have a bit of God and then a large chunk of self-reliance? Jesus shows us that ultimately God is all that we need. And when tempted to compromise, he found the Bible's promises reinforced his trust that God indeed is enough. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world. We pray for David, our bishop, and we pray for churches and for people within churches who feel disheartened or discouraged today. We ask for a fresh revelation of yourself to encourage their hearts and to set them on fire to know you more and to share your love effectively. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And as talks about talks and negotiations are happening, we want to pray especially for those on the ground for whom these things matter more than anything in the world. We pray for the parents and spouses and children of soldiers on the front line in Ukraine and Russia. We pray for those who've been bereaved in airstrikes in recent days. And we pray for the psychological damage and healing that's required for those who have dropped those bombs. We pray too for the situation in Libya at the present time, where ethnic minorities are being killed in huge numbers. We pray for their protection and for safety. We pray too for all those in war zones around the world, battling daily with shortages of food, water, electricity, and basic services. Give to the leaders of the nations courage and wisdom to act with urgency and with focus to bring wars to an end, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the sick, for the poor, and for those in any kind of trouble. And we remember especially today all who face temptations in their daily life. Particularly, we pray for those who battle addictions and destructive behaviors that can damage their health and their family's well-being. We ask you to be with all who seek to intervene and to offer help and support. We pray for those known to us who are sick at home or in hospital, and we bring them before you now, Lord, in a moment of quietness. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord,
trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And we join together to sing the hymn of our offering, hymn 425, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
to give our thanks and grace. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We, being many, are one body, for we all share in one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. And if we have any visitors who are with us today from other denominations or churches, just to say that the Church of Ireland has an open table and you are welcome to receive here if you're accustomed to receiving in other places. Lord God, you renew us with the living bread from heaven. Nourish our faith, increase our hope, strengthen our love, and enable us to live by every word that proceeds from out of your mouth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, and to take up your cross and follow him. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 10, All My Hope on God is Founded. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.